Hello there. Welcome to the Visionary Practice Solutions podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Sarah, and I am here to talk all things private practice, helping you to build your vision of the private practice of your dreams. Hello again, and welcome back. I am so glad you decided to join us today. We are going to be having another discussion on staffing. I'm doing a few of these. Staffing is probably the thing I get asked about the most with coaching, and it is certainly the biggest headache for any business owner, let alone private practice business owners. I think that we in private practice have a very unique situation in that we are both the primary revenue force in our company and are typically the ones trying to manage the company. And what I mean by that is the only way the practice is making money is if you're seeing patients. That's typical. Now, unless you've got, you know, five or six doctors working for you, but I'm talking to those of us that are still practicing, that are still seeing patients ourselves, and yet still managing the office part of it. So you're almost having to wear two hats at the same time. And when you're having problems with staffing, it becomes incredibly disruptive to your overall flow, to the ability of the office to make any revenue. There are some real big concerns, and your radar can't be on it all the time because you have to see patients. So this becomes a really frustrating thing for a lot of practice owners. So I figured I would do a few podcasts on this. This is one of many, but today I wanted to talk about that question that nags in the back of your mind of, do I have the right team? Now, jumping into it, that is a question that I think requires some self-reflection prior to asking yourself if your employees are doing all the things that you're asking them to do. I'm not talking about whether the employees are doing all of the tasks for the day. What I'm talking about is, do you have people that are truly personally invested in the growth of that business? Do they see themselves benefiting personally from the business? Do they see themselves providing benefit to the business in a way that's going to keep them invested in it? And having invested staff versus having people that show up for a 9-to-5 create two very different businesses. And a lot of times what happens in a practice is we have a little of both in our office. And you have the people that really are there and they get the job done, and that's fine. And then you have people that are willing to stay after and willing to put in that extra mile. So likely you're going to have a little bit of both. But before you even start looking at that, I think every practice owner needs to be able to stand back from an overhead, what I call that bird's eye view, and think about where you want your practice to go. Because I'm sure some of you have heard the phrase, if a business isn't growing, then it's dying. And I firmly believe that that is true. You have to grow. At some point, if you stop, then things will start to go downhill. So there is a progression that businesses generally will go through. Some of it's really enjoyable, some of it's really not. But either way, that growth has to happen. So thinking about, where do you want your practice to get to? What is the result that you want to see for your practice in the next year? What about the next 5 years? What about 10 years? And taking some time to really reflect on that, write that down. What does that look like for you? Are you a solo doc? You're working 3 to 4 days a week. You see this many patients and you're good with that. And that is what you want to do till the day you retire. Okay, great. That's a good goal. Fine. Are you somebody that's where you think you're going to be in a year and maybe you want to hire other docs because you want to make this a bigger business? You've decided you'd like to be able to step back from seeing so many patients and, you know, maybe have somebody else doing a little more of the patient care. Are you someone that wants to have a chain of offices? I mean, there is no right or wrong answer to this, but you need to have an idea of what it is you want to do, what it is your goals are. Because only then can you stand back and say, okay, do I actually have the right team to get me there? What is it that I really need out of someone in each of the positions that I have in my office? And do I have the right person in it? So now that you've decided and taken the time and done the dream work to think about what do I actually want, now is the time where you start evaluating your staff. So you define out what are the qualities in a person, and I do mean soft qualities. You know, what are the qualities in a person that you want? Do you want them hardworking, independent, willingness to stay late, or willingness to take on extra projects, creative problem solving? I mean, we're not talking about the really measurable, tangible things. So we aren't talking about job duties, right? Job duties are answer the phone, return the faxes, like that. We're not talking about that. That's general stuff. You can teach somebody to do that. What I'm talking about is, do you have team members who have the qualities in their personality that are going to get the things done, that are going to help move your business's needle forward? And only you can decide what that's going to look like. So once you have those things written out and decided upon, you've got to go through and evaluate your staff and look at the relationships between people. You know, do you have a staff member that is maybe really good at getting everything done, but just pisses off everybody else in the office? That may or may not actually be a good team member for you. These are things to think about. Do you have somebody that kind of just phones it in and at least gets their work done, but then they don't offer to help anybody else in the office with getting their job duties done if they're done early? You know, you're looking for that team player also. So I think doing a kind of a pros and cons about each of your staff members is important. The other thing that you can do, and you need to do this individually with your staff members, don't bring this up at a group staff meeting, is to actually sit down with each staff member and ask them, you know, how do you feel about everybody else? How do you feel everybody else is doing at their job? You know, do you foresee any problems? Is there anything that I should know about? Because odds are, when we're seeing patients, our pulse is not on all of the office stuff and all the go-betweens for people. So what ends up happening is you don't find out about it until there's some huge drama. And now you've got a mess to fix, and that pulls you away from patients. So, you know, getting a sense and talking to your staff about how they feel the office runs and what they think, you know, their job description should be, if they think that there are certain duties that are overlapping too much with another employee's job, those are the kinds of questions you want to ask. And you can ask straight out how they feel they get along with the other employees and how they feel, you know, other employee A and other employee B get along. Get some feedback from people. This is a good way to start just evaluating your staff overall as a whole team. Because remember, this is a team thing. We are not looking at individuals. Now, the second thing I wanted to bring up with this is a real quick brief thing on, you know, when do you hire? And this is a whole podcast, probably a whole masterclass in itself, to be honest, is figuring out from a business perspective when you can hire. But from a employee team concept, when should you be hiring? Are you overstaffed or are you understaffed? And this is a question you need to start to think about as you're talking to your employees. How you know you're overstaffed in this sense is going to be if you have a lot of employees that say that their job description is doing the same thing. If that's happening, you have too many people. Like, you don't need that many people. Conversely, however, if the feedback you're getting from everybody is a sense of just complete overwhelm, and you have the foresight to ask them, "This seems overwhelming. If you could change anything, what would you do differently to make this less overwhelming?" Then see what they say. If they all come back and say, "You need to have another person. We need a second person up front. We need a second MA. We can't have everybody all up front at the same time. We have too many patients on the phone. Those kind of answers, if you're getting it from multiple employees, you're understaffed. It is time to figure out either you need to reestablish who is doing what very clearly and take some of the job duties from one person onto another, or it's time to hire, because your staff feeling overly stressed and overwhelmed is going to lead them to start looking for another job. And then you're going to be severely understaffed. So start paying attention to how they're responding to it, if they're overwhelmed or not. Now, if you just have one employee that feels overwhelmed and everybody else is like, no, this is fine, I'm good, you may have a problem with that one particular employee. They may just not have the skill set to be where you need them to right now. In which case, you need to figure out, based on those other characteristics that you have down about that person, is this a skill set that I can give them because they are overall a really good, really invested employee? Or have they kind of reached their maximum ability to do the things that I need them to do? And you can have a very loyal employee who's been with you for a long time. And if you're in that growth mindset and you are in that growth period and they are not able to keep up, that is one of the hardest decisions as a business owner that you will make. It will go against everything that your body is telling you, because you're thinking, but this is a loyal employee and they're so hard to find. But if they are not keeping up and if their skill set cannot be elevated to where your business needs it to be, that may be something you have to think about, because they are now going to cost you money with other people having to do the work that they aren't getting done. So if you have decided that you are overstaffed, it is time to make some difficult decisions. If you realize that you are understaffed, there are a couple of options. One, you can consider cross-training if you're not already. I would highly recommend every small office have everybody cross-train. You probably already do. Two, you can consider hiring somebody to do some of the more administrative tasks to like a virtual assistant. You can use an overseas one, you can use a US-based one. Kind of depends on what job duties you're planning on giving them. But if taking off some of those administrative tasks would be enough to keep your staff sane, I would highly recommend doing it. Or are you looking at now hiring another employee? And the concern from here is, if I'm looking at hiring a new employee and I know where my practice is going to, I need to be hiring this person with that new practice picture in mind. Now, I do have a more extensive kind of VPS hiring system here that I have my clients use, and I am planning on doing another masterclass on it, because I believe that there is a way for us to hire where most of the skills hiring that we're looking for is happening before you even talk to the person. It's a fairly specific way of going about your hiring process. So if you're wondering when the next masterclass is going to be, please reach out to drsarahvps@gmail.com, and I can go ahead and get back to you on some of the dates for that. So that's an aside. Back to now you've hired. Let's say you're hiring here with this person in mind. You also want to make sure that you are retaining the good employees. So at this point, you have let go of the employees that do not fit the future vision, and you're trying to retain and hire people that are a good fit for where you see your practice going. And I wanted to just really briefly cover some ways to retain those employees. This is a separate set of podcasts, but at least I can give you the kind of general breakdown here. So the number one thing, my opinion, is creating a good office culture. There have been some surveys through like Business News Daily and Forbes that have come out with more than half of people that they surveyed consider a good workplace culture more important than their salary. More than half. It's like 56% or 60%. That's pretty big, Because as a small business, we can't really afford to pay what the larger businesses can. And a lot of small businesses are really struggling to keep people because we can't afford to pay these huge signing bonuses and all the benefits and all the other thing. So really, truly, if you can create a stellar office culture, you'll keep people. You really will. I think this can be done with hiring with their personality in mind. And this is easier to do when we make sure we adhere to the system that I use for hiring, because I've already tested the skills. So by the time they come in for their interview, I'm really just hiring on personality. Are they going to get along with the rest of my team? Making sure that you are investing in their training and further education. You know, if you are able to help put them through, you know, like my state has a registered medical assistant program where if I go through certain training exercises with my quote MA, I'm able to get her a registered medical assistance license, which is specific to my office. You know, it doesn't transfer anywhere, but she's super excited to have that. And I'm really proud of her for having that. And it was important to her to get that. So that was something that within the first few months of her working with us, we discussed, and it was something she wanted to go for. And it's been a year and she's got it and she's thrilled. Other benefits, what other benefits are you able to offer them? Can you offer medical? I'll be honest, it is hard to offer medical as a, you know, sole physician or a dual physician office. However, I have seen plans where it's like $200 a month. It's a high deductible plan, but it's not that bad. Sometimes asking the employees if they would rather you cover their medical versus just get a raise in pay, I think that's reasonable to ask them, and you might be surprised by their answer. So offering some kind of benefits, or at least a choice about those benefits, is a good way to go. You can look at doing a bonus on their productivity. So some offices will do like a full profit sharing kind of a situation. And I love that idea, to be honest. It's if the business makes, you know, over a certain amount, then a percentage of that profit, they divvy up amongst the employees. It can create a really good environment where everybody's really helping each other. You have to be kind of conscious of the bonuses part of it, because if you run it through payroll as a bonus, it does usually get taxed at a higher rate. So it may be something that you want to talk to your CPA or your payroll person about, seeing if you can, you know, lump it into their actual payroll paycheck. And then finally, I think, you know, make an effort to design the position around somebody's strengths, weaknesses, preferences, job satisfaction. Consider those things when you're thinking about the job duties that you're having them do. Now, I know that people are going to say, well, I need them to do X, Y, and Z. That's the job description. And I get that. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be doing X, Y, and Z. But if you have someone who absolutely loathes spreadsheets, let's just say it's your front desk person and they are supposed to record where all of your new patient referrals are coming from and put together a spreadsheet for you every month, and they absolutely hate doing it. They also do not understand how to work Google Documents or something like that, right? Let's say they're not a genius at Excel. Why torture them with that? Like, why? See if you have somebody else who would be better and faster at doing that type of work, and see what that other person wants to take off of their plate, and see if you can literally just trade the jobs, trade the things. There is no reason and nothing that says hard and fast in stone that your front desk is the only person that can handle your faxes. That is just not true. Maybe you have somebody else on your team who is particularly good at handling faxes. Now, I'm using really like simplified examples, but you understand the point, is that there is nothing to say that just because somebody isn't good at something means that they have to do it because that's the job description. Like, consider tailoring that job description a little bit to the person you have. That will make your team overall a lot happier. As long as everything gets done, my office, I don't really care who's doing it, as long as everybody knows what they're supposed to do and it happens. I'm still happy because the things get done. My staff is happy because they're only having to do the things that they actually enjoy doing or are really good at doing, and we've minimized the things that they absolutely loathe. This makes for happier employees. So having that level of job satisfaction in the work they're putting in how they feel about everything when they go home, I mean, that stuff matters. That stuff really, really matters. So I am going to do a separate podcast on, you know, some ways to retain an employee, and especially on how to create a good office culture, because I think this is something that people are so looking for now. And if you want to attract the quality people, you have to be running a quality business that people want to spend their time at. Hopefully this episode got you thinking about whether you have the right team. I hope it got you reflecting on where you want your business to be going in the future. And I hope that in evaluating your staff, you come to a realization of really that ideal team that you need for success, and that you can start slowly creating that team together. Now, if you're struggling with this, which a lot of people do, no worries. If you would like to reach out, we can do a quick consultation on kind of how to look at your team as a whole and where some changes might be quick and easy and beneficial to make. Just reach out at drsarahvps@gmail.com. I will try to respond as quickly as I possibly can. And I hope you guys have a good rest of your week. We will see you next time on the podcast.